Okay, here we are back here, ready to travel. Are you ready to get on board?
Let's do it.
Ready.
Hey, we had a good lesson yesterday, and it just started out. Where did we go yesterday on our travels?
Well, yesterday we started in Buenos Aires, and that was our first stop on our cruise line as we circumnavigate, or as we cruise around South America.
We almost lost Pauline there. She wants to stay down there longer, don't you, Pauline?
That's true. I was lost on the first stop. I just wanted to stay in Buenos Aires. Although, it sounds like the next stop after that was the Falkland Islands where there's penguins, so I guess they could entice me back onto the boat for that.
But remember, though, when you're in Buenos Aires, you have to take a plane and fly over to see these famous falls.
Yes, the Iguazu Falls, the waterfalls I have been dreaming about seeing for years. Someday I'll get there, Doris.
So don't forget that if you go to Buenos Aires. So today on page 29, we're going to find out some other places if you go around the southern part of South America. And one place is the very end, and it's called, well, there's going to be Cape Horn, Chile. Let's find out more about that. Let's read the first paragraph today.
Cape Horn, Chile. Approaching Cape Horn, the southernmost piece of land on Earth above Antarctica, we earned our nautical bragging rights as our ship battled formidable waves and wind before we were able to gaze at the rocky point that had witnessed centuries of sailing triumphs and tragedies.
Wow, well, this part sounds very exciting. Actually, I love this phrase that he says, that they earned their nautical bragging rights. So to brag means to, like, boast, right? And he says he has the right to boast about his nautical experience, so this ship experience, because they survived this amazing trip around the Horn that has these huge waves and big winds. It's not just any day on a ship that you're going to experience this.
Well, have you ever been on a ship when there's raging wind and waves? Have you ever been on one like that?
Yes. It was a small boat, and it was one of the moments I was most scared for my life.
Where were you then?
I was in Costa Rica, in a different part of Costa Rica. Yeah.
Really? Well, mm-hmm. When I went from Seattle over to Shanghai on a boat, there was a big typhoon in a great big boat, and the wind was blowing like mad, and the formidable waves up and down. I thought, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get out of the ocean. So that was scary.
Wow, Doris, I didn't know that story. That sounds so scary. I'm glad you're here to tell the story.
So I'm going
to
do it bragging about it. I made it, right?
You earned some bragging rights,
well,
too.
Well, you two have your nautical bragging
rights. Can you have anything to brag about?
Unfortunately, not on a boat.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll save your stories for the next article then, right?
There you go.
Uh-oh.
But anyway, wherever you go out on the ocean, when the waves are strong, they are formidable. Mm-hmm. What does formidable actually mean?
Yeah, so this adjective is kind of, it's causing you to have fear.
Scary.
Yeah, it's scary, but then you kind of revere it. You show it respect because it's so big and formidable.
Yeah, it always has that connotation of really large and powerful, something is formidable.
But anyway, they battled that and they got through there, and then they could see. They could gaze. Gaze means to look out at something. They gazed at this rocky point, which is at the very tip, and what did they see?
Well, I like this. They actually aren't seeing centuries, right? They're not seeing, but they can imagine when they look at this little point, this rocky point, they realize that they're seeing the same point that for hundreds of years sailors have gone around. It was a really big deal to make it around this tip, and it was a triumph if they were able to do it successfully, but also there are many tragedies that happened in attempts to get around this place.
That's true, especially in the smaller ships, too. It would be worse. But Cape Horn is the southernmost piece of land on Earth above Antarctica. Did you know that?
Well, you know, I didn't think of it as we were kind of reading the article, but I guess if you were to look at the map of the world and kind of, to see it down there, it's pretty remarkable how far South America would extend below the equator.
Didn't realize that so much, did you?
Right. A lot of people think of hot tropical weather when they think about South America. They forget that there's a part of it that goes down so far south that it's really quite cold because it's very close to Antarctica.
That's true. Well, that's one place. Now, let's find the next place they were going to go, because they're going all around different places. How do you say the next one?
Punta Arenas.
Oh, I said Punta Arenas. Does that sound good?
Sounds good to me.
Let's go there.
Punta Arenas, Chile. At Punta Arenas, Chile, we joined our ship's exclusive Chile excursion to one of South America's most picturesque mountain ranges, Torres del Paine National Park. This trip required two bus rides and a private plane flight over surprisingly barren expanses of Patagonia before we reached the craggy mountains. From what we could see of the peaks through the clouds, the formations were indeed spectacular.
All right, well, we're still in Chile, but now we've moved up further north, and we are getting a look at a beautiful or very picturesque mountain range. So, as you can see in the photo, there's a picture of a national park, and I'm going to ask Pauline, because she's just our expert witness as far as our
Spanish
goes.
She can say all
goes.
The Spanish words, right?
So it's Torres del Paine National Park, and it is not an easy park to get to. Even after they did this big cruise where they took on the formidable waves and circumnavigated around the Cape Horn and made it up there, they still hadn't fully arrived to this national park. It said this trip required two bus rides and a private plane flight in order to get to see this beautiful, picturesque mountain range.
So it's not just all on the ship. You can't see everything from the ocean. That's true. Well, you know, when you talk about a range of mountains, we think of certain mountains, like in Tokyo, they talk about Mount Fuji. In Seattle, we talk about Mount Rainier. And these certain mountains are kind of famous. But we have a whole range of mountains. Like in the United States, the Rocky Mountain Range goes all the way from Canada clear down to California. So a range of mountains is not just one mountain. It's a whole group of mountains. Mm-hmm. And the Olympic Mountains and all these mountains. So this is a whole range of mountains, not just one mountain there, right?
So there is a lot to see. There's a lot to look at.
Mm-hmm. And that would be very nice to see. But I don't know about all these bus trips and the plane ride. But I guess it would be okay. But I don't know if you want to go see the barren expanses of this Patagonia. I wonder what that's like. Barren doesn't sound very interesting to me.
Right. Barren means like there's nothing there,
nothing.
Right?
It's like the desert or something.
Yeah, it kind of does sound like desert. Although, yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's pretty amazing if you're in an airplane looking over this wide stretch of area that just has nothing. I mean, there must be grass or something, even if it's not lots of trees.
Some animals
and then,
or something.
And I wouldn't be surprised if there are animals. And then you have these huge mountains. So that would be quite the contrast. I'm sure it's a really gorgeous thing to see from the air.
And what are craggy mountains? I mean,
some craggy mountains, kind of very jagged or edged and some kind of sharp tips, and so you can kind of see that just beneath the clouds there are these very sharp mountains,
and you can see all that as you go there. So that would be one thing you could do. Maybe you don't have to, but it's fun. But I think other things are going to be more fun ahead. What about these falls? Let's read the next one.
Petrohue Falls. From Puerto Montt, Chile, a rather nondescript town, our ship's tour took us to Petrohue Falls, whose cascading waters framed the perfectly cone-shaped Osorno Volcano, which we later visited. From our vantage point halfway up the cylindrical cone, we admired the expansive view of Lake Esmeralda and the hilly countryside surrounding it.
Well, I think wherever you go, falls are kind of interesting. And I think that Tell us a little bit more about this place, where they're going to go now.
Okay, so they're continuing to travel up north on the west side of the tip of South America, following Chile up north. They've made it to Puerto Montt, Chile, and that's actually a rather nondescript town, they said. So nothing particularly unique or worth noting. It's just kind of an average town. But they went there because there's a waterfalls that is very beautiful to be seen in that area.
Mm-hmm. Some things are very descriptive that you really want to talk about them. But if there's not much to say about them, you could say they're nondescript.
Right.
Seems, you know, kind of ordinary, right?
Right. And so they kind of use this word to describe the town, whereas they are using very descriptive language when they're talking about the cascading waters, mm-hmm. right? So this kind of this idea that the water is flowing down.
And right. It sounds like what's special about these waterfalls, although, of course, we all agree that waterfalls are beautiful everywhere, mm-hmm. but the reason they go to this one is that it perfectly frames this cone-shaped Orsono volcano. So getting to see a waterfall right next to or with a volcano, that sounds pretty beautiful.
That's true, which they later visited that one. But they said from their vantage point. Mm-hmm. Now, what is an advantage? I think if advantage means something that's beneficial, what is a vantage point?
Well, I think you kind of find that meaning within this word vantage, that you're able to see something from a very good point of view. So to have a good vantage point means you can see it. You can see it very clearly.
Well, they're going up this cylindrical cone. What does that sound like?
So cylindrical comes from the word cylinder, and that would be a tube-shaped thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's this place where you can stop and look and see and look out, kind of a lookout place, and they admired the beautiful view. This is an expansive view.
Mm-hmm.
It means a very big view.
Right, kind of broad, continuing to expand. So mm-hmm. I think of when I traveled to Montana, and I know I'll mm-hmm. intrigue someone's interest
from.
Here. That's
mm-hmm.
right. I just remember seeing, now that's called what's the nickname of that state?
It's called Big Sky Country.
Big Sky. And so mm-hmm. I remember thinking how expansive the sky was. It seemed so large.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would be pretty spectacular to see this expansive view of Lake Esmeralda.
Well, the Lake Esmeralda sounds nice. Lakes are beautiful wherever they are, mm-hmm. too. And don't you think that would be beautiful to get up there in the mountains and then see this big lake?
Yeah, this area sounds amazing. It has lakes, it has a waterfall, and it has a volcano. All of those things together just sounds spectacular.
So from this ship, they have these tours that you can take off the ship. You don't just sit on the ship the whole time because you wouldn't see very much just being on the water. So they get off and they have tours that they arrange on tour ships, yeah. don't they?
So this sounds like a cruise I would be interested in because, I don't know, I think of cruises and weary of staying
right.
on the ship the whole time. But if you can get out and have side trips,
that's good. You go different places, you know, and you get
yeah.
there.
Mm-hmm.
And it would take a really long time to try and get to all of these different places just by train or bus or even by plane. I can see where mm-hmm. boat seems like, in many ways, the most efficient way to get around to all these places.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they could see this perfectly cone-shaped place, which would be beautiful. And they could stop and look at it, admire it, and take pictures and everything, and see the countryside. So if you like this kind of nature, it's a nature tour, I think you would enjoy this trip, don't you think?
So much to see. How could you go wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Sounds very, very once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Right. So the next thing you're going to see is the fjords. The Chilean fjords. What about those? What is a fjord anyway?
Well, like we were saying yesterday, a fjord is a strip of sea between high cliffs. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a very impressive view, something to see.
So let's read about those.
Chilean fjords. When we entered the Chilean fjords, every passenger watched spellbound as we glided past a series of spectacular glaciers draped across craggy, snow-capped mountains. The massive ice sheets, lined with deep fissures, glowed with deep aquamarine hues in the late afternoon sunlight. Some of the ice walls spewed milky waterfalls as the behemoths slowly melted and crept inexorably toward their demise in the frigid ocean water.
Well, I think about this Norwegian ship. You know, they're used to fjords because in Norway there's so many beautiful fjords. I've been to several of those, and we've been on a car up above the fjords, and you look down and you can see the ocean way down there. But to be on a ship, you go right in the water in between them.
Yeah, and look way up those walls, those cliff walls. That would be pretty incredible. Actually, I think the word fjord comes from Norwegian. We were talking about how sometimes you see it spelled FJ, which
right.
is not in a very American or English spelling of something, but it comes from that Norwegian.
Norwegian fjords, I think they say FJ. Or I'm always used to seeing that with the fjords because I've seen the fjords in Norway, but I didn't think about the fjords in Chile. But a fjord is just kind of an area then where the sea goes into the land, but it's high cliffs up above.
Right, on both sides.
On both sides. So I didn't realize that in Chile they had a lot of those. But were the people on the ship, were they very interested in that or not?
Yes, they were very interested in it. We know that because it says the passengers watched spellbound. That means it was almost like magic and they couldn't take their eyes off of it. It was so amazing.
Now, this word spellbound is a very interesting word. You read it a lot. Like, for instance, sometimes people go to see a certain movie and they just can't, they're so excited and they can't take their eyes off the screen. They're spellbound. It's so exciting. Can you think of some other ways to use spellbound?
Sure. Well, I like that example you used, Doris, like with a movie, but I would think of, like anytime you're in front of a spectacular view and you're so intrigued, we learned this word yesterday, intrigued, that you just cannot think of anything else. You're spellbound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we might even use it not with visual things. We could use it listening to, maybe you go to an orchestra and listen to the music and it just holds you spellbound. Or somebody's story as they're telling it just has you spellbound. It means you're not thinking about anything else. All your attention goes into this and you think it's beautiful and amazing.
It's like it casts a spell on you so you can't think of anything else. You're just glued. We're glued to that. We just have to look at it. So they watched this and they thought, wow, this is unusual. They glided past in their ship a series of spectacular glaciers draped across these mountains. Kind of sounds like Alaska to me.
Yeah, it does sound like Alaska, although I've never been there either, so I don't know.
But you've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think?
I would certainly be standing spellbound, just imagining the opportunity to go right up, right past these glaciers that seem to kind of, and these snow-capped mountains, I think that would just be unbelievable.
But that sounds like these tours that go up to Alaska and all, and they go up into these areas where the ice is and everything.
Right,
it?
And again, like we were saying yesterday, so many people, or maybe it was earlier today, so many people, when they think about South America, they think hot, tropical. They don't think Alaska-like views and ice and glaciers, but South America has that in these southernmost parts of Chile and Argentina, and it does sound really spectacular.
Well, we talk about, like, Alaska's up by the North Pole, and this is down by the South Pole, and both poles have ice and things like that, don't they?
That's exactly right. Yeah. I also like the way they continue to describe what these glaciers look like. So they say they're massive ice sheets and they're lined with deep fissures. So I hadn't thought about this. I would just think of it as like one flat sheet, I guess, of ice, but they're saying no, there's these deep crevices, cracks
right.
in them, and then that they will glow with aquamarine hues. So having all of these colors reminds me of some of the beautiful colors Doris and I love to see in the ocean when we go scuba
That's
diving.
That's right. Oh, beautiful. And sometimes when the sun shines on this ice, you think about it as being white, right?
Right.
But whenever you see, the sun comes on the ice and the sunlight gives it some vertical, and all of a sudden it's more like the ocean is in the ice, and it's kind of different.
Yeah, that made me want to go see glaciers more than I've ever wanted to before. I just never imagined that.
Yeah,
and
just plain old white glaciers, don't sound
yeah.
with the sun shining on there. Wouldn't that be pretty in the afternoon
so
sunlight?
So pretty, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then some of the ice walls spewed milky waterfalls. It means spewed means like to spit out, and here they are. They're watching this, and all of a sudden, out comes all these waterfalls. And what are behemoths? What are those?
Behemoths, yeah, they're something huge.
Big.
Yeah, so we know we're still talking about the glaciers. This isn't just a small patch of ice. These are huge, massive sheets of ice that are slowly melting, and that's where you get the waterfalls from. And actually, the whole glacier is slowly creeping inexorably towards their demise. So undeniably.
Now that's very, very difficult words for our listeners. What do you think of those
very
words mean?
Very poetic.
Yeah, here you have to really appreciate the author's descriptive language, because he kind of invites you in and brings you to what he's saying. And
right.
So in this case, he uses this word. It just means, yeah, you're not like without the possibility of ever stopping. It's just going to continue to come. And so it's going towards their demise, or demise would be like your end, right? So there's no escape.
Right. So he is just thinking about how, even though he can't actually see the glacier sliding into the ocean, he knows they're in this slow process of melting and falling into the ocean, where they will no longer be a glacier. They'll just be part of the ocean.
Well, and this idea here of being inexorably, but really just means to be that you can't even stop it without any possibility. There's no way you can stop this. It's coming out. You know, it's just too big. It's forceful, isn't it?
That's right. Yep.
So,
and it's a process that's
that.
Just going to happen no matter what.
So if you're really interested in English words, this lesson will be some good lesson for you. Don't try to remember all of them. I'm sure you won't, but anyway, understand what it feels like. But now let's look back and see at the end what they say. Let's read the last paragraph.
Looking back, as the Norwegian sun pulled into Valparaiso's bustling harbor, we reflected on our once-in-a-lifetime cruise around some of the most remarkable sights in the world. We felt grateful to have been able to sail around the infamous tip of South America and to have waddled alongside king penguins in the remote Falkland Islands. This chapter in the book of our travels will remain among our most treasured memories.
So this author here is trying to kind of sum everything up, isn't he?
That's right. So looking back, now the trip is over, and they're just thinking about all the amazing things that happened, summing it up, and talking one last time about the highlights.
Which harbor did they go to?
Let's see. They went to Valparaiso's bustling harbor, so we know it's a busy harbor.
Mm-hmm. You're going to learn a lot of Spanish when you go down there, right? So what did they reflect or think about mostly?
Well, they were thinking about these remarkable sights that they had seen throughout South America. And so, as we had said earlier, that these are the highlights. And kind of going back, he felt grateful. And I think that's a great way to feel at the end of a trip, to feel like you had the opportunity to gaze upon or to look at such amazing views and to sail around, yeah, this remarkable piece of land.
You have a good point, because at the end of the trip, I think it's hard not to just be sad, because it's over and you always wish you could have done it even longer, but instead just to, you know, be grateful for what you got.
It's memorable.
Yeah,
but you know, I can't understand exactly why he said this here in line 8. He said, we feel grateful to have been able to sail around the infamous tip of South America. Now, that's not a very good publicity. Infamous means famous for bad things, see? So this is infamous. I don't know if that was a very nice thing to say. What do you think?
Well,
what
he means is that in the past, it used to be a very dangerous place to sail around.
Mm-hmm.
So it was famous for being dangerous,
okay.
Right? Usually we think that would be bad. Of
right.
course, now it's not as dangerous. We have better technology, better ships.
He's showing us how brave he was going
yeah,
to this infamous
he's still
place.
Bragging.
Right. Because that's kind of a strange thing to say, because it was really a beautiful trip, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But it's probably not well known for, you know, safety in the old days, probably.
Right.
That people, sailors went around Cape Horn and the ships got lost and things like that, don't you think?
Yeah, so I think he's grateful that now he lives in a time and he was able to go and do what used to be such a dangerous thing, but now he was able to do it safely and just enjoy the beauty of it.
And I like the way he said that here in line 10, he waddles along the kingpin was. Now, the penguins, when they walk from side to side, we call that waddling. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people that are a little bit too fat waddle from side to side.
Or we might
penguins
say
waddle.
Ducks waddle.
Ducks
right.
waddle. Right there they walk. So he waddled along them. He walked alongside of them. So that was an interesting way to say that, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it?
That's cute.
Yeah.
And not only the waddling, these penguins, they live in that remote area, the Falkland Islands.
Mm-hmm.
What an amazing opportunity to get down there and to go see something that once was hard to get to is now accessible.
Right, and then he calls this like a chapter in the book of their travels. So we have a lot of different trips that we've made, and we call them like a chapter. When I went here, when it went there, and you've got a whole book full of chapters already, Pauline. So have I, right?
That's true. And, you know, in English, we often refer to our life as a book, right? Let's always say, that was a very special chapter of my life. This
certain
is a
time period.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
So there's a lot of chapters in our books, and we want to make them exciting and interesting and travel with us, and we've learned some good words. And remember that nature is beautiful, and be sure and enjoy each day wherever you are.
That's right. Be sure to treasure your memories and your moments, and we hope that you're treasuring your experience here in Advance Radio.
And be grateful for whatever it is that you're getting to experience in your life. Don't cling on to it when it's time for the next thing. Just be grateful and keep moving forward.
And be with us every day as we talk about different subjects. Join us, and we can have a good time, not only learning English, but learning about places in the world, about people in the world, and understanding each other better. So have a good day and a good week wherever you are. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.